Gather round, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Village Celebration. How are you this Thursday? I'm Vicki Newton. So glad that you are with us for our time to talk here in the Village. What a week it has been. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But coming up in tonight's show, a seismic shift in the way we eat. Have we changed the way we eat? Are more of us shopping the perimeter of the grocery store and not necessarily the canned goods down the center of the aisles? Well, the experts say things have changed. And is marriage good for your heart? Those topics we'll discuss with our favorite doctor, Dr. Dye. Also, our Village Verse tonight from Bishop Robert Rudolph, who is the Assistant General Secretary of the Church of God in Christ. And as you know, the annual convocation was just held in St. Louis last week. Everything went beautifully, some really moving sermons, and the bishop is going to talk with us about the convocation as well as our Village Verse for the week. But first, the big story. One of the biggest stories in the country this week has come out of the University of Missouri, the resignations of President Tim Wolf and the Chancellor. We're joined tonight by Ty Christian, who is an advertising executive and an alum of Mizzou. Ty, thank you so much for joining us. You're in the business of advertising and maintaining a positive public image for your clients. What would your advice be at this point for the University of Missouri?
Wow, there's so many different things that they need to do, and it's so many different things that I have discussed with the university probably over the last 12 to 15 years in regards to not only the branding, but definitely the issue of diversity and inclusion. I've been very, very honored and blessed to be recognized by the University of Missouri, with a couple Alumni of the Year awards. But one of my greatest honors was my ability to donate a bronze statue to them representing the Stone of Hope, which was done by the same sculptor who did the Stone of Hope on the National Mall at the MLK Memorial. So I've always had a great connection with the University of Missouri, but also as being a part of the family, I have always said to them that there's a greater need for diversity and inclusion. So, unfortunately, it took the resigning of both the president and the chancellor. But I think the great news about this now, the university has a great chance to kind of create a new slate, start new and fresh, and hopefully get bigger and better.
So what message do these resignations send to the students at Mizzou and then around the country?
Wow, so many, and I think that so many, and I think if you watch the news as of late, everybody has an opinion, everybody has a position, both, good, bad, or indifferent. I think the number one message that I take from it as an alumni, at the end of the day, the student body, along with members of the football team, which I want to talk about later, because I think that was the tipping point.
Yes, we're getting to them.
We're no longer going to accept the fact that we're paying you a vast amount of money for tuition to come to an institution where we're hoped to be educated and served like anybody else, and we're not going to do it in an environment that is not safe, respectful, and conducive to our good health. Now, the issues, the racial incidents that took place, there's sort of these one-offs have been happening for years. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was there at the University of Missouri, I personally didn't experience anything like that, nor I do recall any of my friends. So this has been ongoing over the years. I think it just came to a head this past week where the student body and several other people said, enough with the lip service, enough with not responding to us and treating us in a respectful manner. We're going to address this issue. And matter of fact, you're not the right person to address it. You need to go. And unfortunately, their voices were heard, and both men resigned.
The students who organized the protest, especially graduate student Jonathan Butler, seemed to have a real grasp on the power of unity. Do you know how they were able to involve the football team, which seems to be the most significant addition to the protest? That was the game changer, it appears.
Well, without a doubt, the football team, as I indicated, was the tipping point. And the story I've heard from both the athletic department and a number of people I serve on the board and some deans, what a perfect time for this call, Vicki, because actually I'm jumping on a plane tomorrow to head down to the university where I'm scheduled to participate in a board meeting and also teach some classes. My understanding were a number of the football players with the scene, Mr. Butler at the hospital or wherever he was stationed. Mm-hmm. I think at that time he was 8 days into his hunger strike. Mm-hmm. They came back to the rest of the team and they were crying and it was very, very moved by his mm-hmm. action. They called the head coach up suggested to the head coach that we collectively, and I think it started off as the black players first, that we're going to boycott, we're going to join in this protest, and we're going to commit to boycott practice, and the game is necessary. It's necessary coming up this Saturday. Well, to I think everybody's surprise, the head coach says, "I'm with you guys," and then the rest of the team joined them.
Now, I think that was surprising, Ty. That Gary Pinkel tweeted Sunday night, "We are united on this." And that was the big news Sunday evening after all of the football games played that day, that the university's coach, the head coach, had sided with his players.
And I think that's so impactful. And I think, again, I think the football team and also the protest were very transformative movements. But I think the football team and the coach, here's a man making over $3 million a year, close to $4 million with bonuses and incentives, said to his team, "We are family. I'm not the head coach. I can't tell you what to do. But whatever you decide to do, I'm going to stand next to you." So in essence, he, as the head coach, whose contract is signed by the president of the university, was also saying to the university president, "No, it's time for you to go as well."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That really seemed to have changed the entire momentum of the protest at the university. So what do you think of the support of the professors who had joined the protest prior to the head coach?
Well, here's the interesting thing, and I think a lot of people are missing this. The University of Missouri is set up. Tim Wolf was the president of the University of Missouri system, which includes four universities, University of Missouri, Kansas City, University of Missouri, St. Louis, University of Missouri, Rolla, which is the engineering school. And he is sort of the top chairman of that group. And in each institution, there's a president, and their title, instead of being president, is a chancellor. So Lawson, for whatever reason, did not have the confidence of the nine deans at the University of Missouri in Columbia. And he's the one who sort of kind of dragged his feet in regards to all these racial incidents. He just never responded at the level the students or anybody else was happy with. And I can also share with you now, there's no longer a secret, there was a movement afoot prior to Monday to remove him. All nine deans at the university went to mm-hmm. President Wolf and said, "It's time for him to go." Mm-hmm. He sort of screwed up so many different things, and he's created an environment that's not comfortable for us as professionals, nor the students, nor any of us are allowed to do what we're best at, is serving the needs of the students. So to a certain extent, it was somewhat surprising that Tim Wolf did not lay more of the blame at the University of Missouri in Columbia at the foot of Chancellor Lawson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is very
and that he took the hit. Now, again, Tim Wolf, you know, made some mistakes in regards to not addressing it as soon as he should have, and also being somewhat dismissive and a little bit arrogant in his behavior mm-hmm. in dealing with the protests at the homecoming. My understanding, he sort of got overwhelmed. His driver, I think, ran into a couple kids, and again, he was just kind of throwing off his game.
You're on the board of advisors for the School of Communications, and you have been for several years. And so, as you mentioned earlier, you travel to the University of Mizzou this week to teach some classes. What will you share with students regarding your thoughts, or will you?
Well, you know, I'm very excited. I was working on a presentation. They wanted me to talk about corporate social responsibility and some of the projects I worked on, but I decided to cut that presentation very short, and I'm really excited to hear their opinions, their position and perspective, mm-hmm. and to really kind of have this very open dialogue, because I think the worst thing that we can do as an alumni or older person is to walk in and think that we have all the answers, and we really don't. And I think it's very important, since I am involved in the School of Communications board, and I'm also on the School of Arts and Science, for me as a board member from both of those institutions, is to listen to, you know, our customers, the students, mm-hmm. and find out, you know, what their issues are, and I will feed those back to the necessary deans I report to, and hopefully we can craft some type of programs around those needs where everybody, number one, feel very respected, very, very comfortable, very safe, and they're put into an environment where they can do their very, very best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In addition to being a Mizzou graduate, you are also a native Missourian. Your advertising firm helped the state launch a campaign to attract a diverse group of tourists and visitors. Will Missouri have a hard time, you think, bringing African Americans to the state after Ferguson, after this Mizzou incident?
I think so. I mean, Missouri has always been very, quote, misunderstood. And when we got the advertising assignment several years ago, and I would have to tell you, Missouri was very, very progressive in this area. Missouri was the first state to allocate $1 million toward the marketing and promotion of its state to the African-American and Hispanic market. And the challenge when we were, you know, when you think of Missouri, you go, why? Matter of fact, when we did focus groups in Detroit, one of the ladies in the focus groups going, is it safe? Mm-hmm. And I remember the client stand up on the knocking against the, you know, the two-way mirror going, you're in Detroit and you're asking if Missouri's safe? And so we positioned the campaign because Missouri does, in the campaign, was Missouri has a little something-something for you, because Missouri has four distinct personalities. You know, St. Louis is very urban, kind of has a little quasi-East Coast flair to it. Mm-hmm. You pop over to the other side of the state, Kansas City, very Western. You kind of maybe feel like you're in Denver. Mm-hmm. If you go to southern Missouri, my God, you think you're in Alabama, Arkansas. And if you go to northern Missouri, you think you're, in, you know, you're obviously next to Iowa. It has a very kind of loose, kind of Minnesota, Canadian feel to it. And so with those four distinct personalities, we kind of came up with this campaign that, again, no matter what you're looking for from a tourist perspective, you know, it's a little something for you. Now, after Ferguson and after this case with the University of Missouri, I think that, again, African-Americans are going to probably shy away from it.
Mm. May need a new ad campaign in light of those two events, because the country has followed both very closely. And these are, I would say, watershed moments in this latest chapter in civil rights and the whole racial dialogue in the country. Ferguson started the wave of protests regarding police brutality, and Mizzou may start a wave in response to the environment, the educational environment young adults face.
Without hesitation, I think, to kind of look at the glass being half full compared to being half empty, it was very tragic what happened to Mike Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. But out of that came the Black Lives Matter movement, which I think is a very, very powerful movement, mm-hmm. and has done amazing work over the last year or two, where, again, it's not reported on the national level, but per my understanding, they have changed the local police reform in 47 different cities, mm-hmm. or small townships. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not being reported. And to create police reform, you have to start at the local level. At the University of Missouri, yes. I mean, again, you know, as an alumni, I'm embarrassed and I'm disheartened. But on the flip side, the move by the black athletes, again, I think is very transformative. And in talking to people, I link it up to nothing like this has been done by black athletes maybe since Muhammad Ali.
That is so true.
Or Tommy Smith.
During
Tommy
the Olympics.
Tommy Smith and John Carlos during the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Again, for these 18, 19-year-old young men to take such a which could have been a very uncomfortable position, but to be so bold and proactive to say, regardless of how this may impact me, this cause is bigger than I. And I've been reading stories and hearing basically, you know, people are now looking at the NBA and the NFL with the number of black players and saying, here's how you do it. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully you have the courage to do what these young men just did.
What an example they set, students at the University
yes,
of Missouri.
They did. Yeah,
it's
amazing.
Ty Christian joining us this evening. Thank you so much. University of Missouri alum and advertising executive. We appreciate your time and your insight.
Thank you, Vicki. Please have a great, great day. And keep up the good work with the Village Celebration.
Thank you so much. And we'll be right back.
Glenn?
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're gonna play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're gonna play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're gonna visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
Their boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to a Thursday edition of the Village Celebration. We are focusing on race on America's college campuses. Let me ask you, do you think there is a race problem on America's college campuses? Well, judging by what happened at the University of Missouri, yes, we do have a problem on America's college campuses. Now, at Ithaca College in upstate New York, there is a move afoot to have the college president removed. So, do you remember your college days? Of course you do. Do you have children in college now, nieces, nephews? What are they saying about their college experience? Some of the stories that we are hearing, blackface on college campuses, nooses hung at dorm rooms and on statues in honor of African Americans, frat boys chanting racial slurs. Give us a call and let us know what you think. 1-855-525-5683. 1-855-525-5683. Before we go to break, here's what the experts are saying. That we all think that university campuses are viewed or are bastions of progressive thought. But keep in mind, this is the first time students are living on their own in an environment with others from backgrounds they may not have any prior experience. And so we are seeing all of these, well, I don't even know if you can call it a trend, but it does seem like a trend. We're seeing and hearing stories where the racial climate is making a lot of African American students uncomfortable, and as we saw at the University of Missouri, even it seems dangerous. Remember, there were death threats phoned in after the protests at the University of Missouri in Columbia when the president and the chancellor both decided to resign. It all started some weeks ago with graduate student Jonathan Butler, his decision to go on a hunger strike. That movement gained momentum. The football team joined in. And as Ty Christian was telling us, we could see much more of this across the country, and we are already seeing it at Ithaca College. What do you think? 1-855-525-5683. Is there a race problem on America's college campuses? Back in a moment.
Remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment. This local guy came up to me and said, they call the guard out for this stuff?
You probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We were responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up.
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Nice.
Well, I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Mm. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah?
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state park, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
I'll never forget.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
My first call-up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration, 1-855-525-5683. We're asking you tonight, is there a race problem on America's college campuses? We view them as bastions of progressive thought, but are they racially charged environments? We do have a call. Robert Jackson joining us from the St. Louis area. Robert, thank you so much. What do you think? Is there a race problem on America's college campuses?
Oh, yes, how you doing, Vicki? Yes, there definitely is a problem, and the problem was always there, but it's really now coming to surface. When I went to school in Missouri in the 80s, this was the late 80s, and mm-hmm. the issue was about apartheid,
mm-hmm.
and I remember the black unions built apartheid, a shanty, they built a shanty, and I remember the next day it was burned down,
mm-hmm.
and so that really... you know, sparks, you know, a lot of racial tension. And so the tension's always there. It's just whatever event happens to expose it.
Mm-hmm. Just bubbling.
But I want to say I'm really proud of those young people bringing to forefront and getting results.
They certainly...
Missouri is actually a pioneer or innovator.
Right. on the forefront.
I thought I'd never say that.
On the leading edge of this new chapter in civil rights with
yeah.
Ferguson and now what we've seen at the University of Missouri.
Yes. It's sad because you look at, you know, your university as the place for higher learning and higher, you know, thought, and this man is still going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It everybody does, didn't get the memo, huh?
Didn't get the memo that Jim Crow no longer reigns.
Yes, well, as far as Mizzou, he goes to the back to the fact of, I don't know, do you remember a gentleman named Lloyd Gaines?
I'm not familiar with
him. He was the first black to be admitted to the law school.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is he never showed up. You know, he was enrolled and everything, but he never showed up for attendance.
Oh, I did read about him. He never showed up, and he was never seen again. Is that right?
Yeah, no, just disappeared.
Disappeared
off the face of the earth.
After he was finally accepted to the University of Missouri. Exactly. He never
yeah.
showed up. He's never been heard from again.
No, he sure hasn't. I mean, to this day, nobody doesn't have an idea where he can be or.
And that's
or
been
what
over
happened.
50 years or close.
Yes, I think he was admitted. Was it the late? 50s, early 60s, I think he was admitted.
And you're right, he just vanished off the face of the earth.
So it's like, and my sister attended Mizzou, and, you know, she would mention things about minstrel shows or, you know, people dressed in blackface, you know, for toga parties, whatever, you know, fraternity parties. And so it's always, you know, been going on. But I think it's now people are really fed up with it. It's kind of like enough is enough.
It's a second wave, and, it seems.
Because our tax money is going to this school. And, you know, we're paying for, you know, not only education, but for safety, too, to be in a safe environment.
Well, the death threats, I was watching a report, and a parent was waiting on a student to get in the car, and she was saying, get in the car, let's go. And you can certainly understand their fear with those death threats called in.
Oh, yes. Now, I see they caught one suspect.
They did. They caught
one,
and
he's... young man they caught, what is it, Hunter Park?
Charged with terroristic threatening.
When you said it, for somebody so young and they have so much hate within them, it's, you know, it's almost like, you know, what are you so mad about?
And it raises the question about just how far have we come in the country. We know that a lot of progress has been made, but clearly a lot remains to be done. Robert Jackson joining us tonight from St. Louis. Thank you so much for joining us, Robert. 1-855.
Oh, thank you, Vicki.
525-5683, 1-855-525-5683. Back in a moment with our Village Verse.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're going to play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're going to play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're going to visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
You know, Maya, you're really good in the sciences, and you're good with people also. Have you ever considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Ah, surgery is an option. But did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and UAMS.
Honey, did you read this article in the newspaper?
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where is my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
You got it. The Joy Network.
You're listening to the Village Celebration. Thank you so much for joining us this Thursday evening. We are now down to our Village Verse. Joining us tonight is Bishop Robert Rudolph, who is the Assistant General Secretary for the Church of God in Christ, and I might add, a cousin. So I just need to say that for the sake of transparency. Bishop Rudolph, good evening, and thank you for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
The Holy Convocation wrapped up last week or over the weekend in St. Louis, and you have attended those since you were tiny, a small child. What did you think of this year's convocation?
I thought this year's convocation was probably the best ever. It was outstanding. We had a wonderful high spiritual time, and I think everybody enjoyed it. I think the attendance probably was the best that it had ever been, And I really enjoy Bishop Blake and his leadership and his vision for the church.
How many do you think attended?
I would imagine that on Sunday morning we had about 50,000 people there. And throughout the week, in and out, I would probably say about 60,000 people or more that came in.
And you all have that at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis, which is where the Rams play football.
Right, at the
America
Center.
So 50,000 people.
50,000 people on Sunday morning. And one of the reasons why I know it's about that amount is because the adjutancy were in charge of getting the communion on the times that we have it on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we generally order no less than 45,000 communion
mm-hmm.
cups and so
mm-hmm.
on and so forth. So it's about 50,000 people in there.
That is amazing.
Yeah, just to hear the presiding bishop's message, it was great.
That is a testimony in and of itself.
It really is.
So you have attended how many convocations, would you imagine?
I've gone to every national convocation since I was about 6 or 7 years old.
My goodness. And so that may be, I don't want to put you on blast here, but that's probably at least 40.
Yeah, at least 40.
At least 40,
yeah.
At least 40. And this you believe.
Oh, I believe this was the best.
Isn't that
amazing? I really
do.
I think a lot of it has to do with the leadership of Bishop Blake and what he's doing and how mm-hmm. he's taking the church at another level. Still a Holiness Pentecostal organization, but it's just very progressive in what he's trying to do for the church. And I'm excited about the future of the church.
And you all had some phenomenal speakers join mm-hmm. you throughout the week. So it's not so exclusive that you all don't reach outside your denomination.
No, we had a lot of the speakers from, of course, our denomination.
Mm-hmm.
There were several bishops that preached. But there were two speakers especially that I think the mainstream individuals know about. One was Bishop Paul Morton. And Bishop Morton grew up in the Church of God in Christ. His father and his brother. His father was a bishop in the Church of God in Christ. He actually pastored two churches in two different countries. He pastored a church in Detroit, and he pastored mm-hmm. a church in Ontario, Canada,
mm-hmm.
while he was growing up. And then there was Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Oh, my.
Morton was there Tuesday night, and Jakes was there on Friday night. And it was very good. We had it was an ecumenical service, but with Paul Morton, it was just like coming back home. Everybody enjoyed, and a lot of people remembered him as a young person growing up in the church.
I have never heard him speak, but
awesome.
Love the song he sings, "Press My Way Through."
Oh, he's
that's one of my favorites.
I think between a speaker or a preacher, I don't know which one he's better at. I really don't. He's just good at both of them.
But when I need that extra push, I listen
get that
to
song.
Press My Way Through. You all have some well-known stars
mm-hmm.
in the Kojic faith.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I saw a picture of Denzel Washington and his wife.
Denzel Washington
at the America
and his wife,
Center in St. Louis at the convocation.
Right, Denzel Washington, Magic Johnson, and
I saw Courtney Vance in the photo in the
right.
background.
Right.
Of yeah. Denzel and Paulette, like I know them, but I
yeah, they,
so that means Angela Bassett is a member because Courtney
right.
Vance is her husband, right?
That's right. They're members of West Angeles Church of God in Christ, and this year Denzel Washington spoke at the Kojic Charities Banquet. It's the outreach arm of the National Church, and he spoke there, and it was, sold out, and mm-hmm. it was good. His father was a pastor in Kojic for 60 years, and he was talking about how, when he was growing up, when his father would come to the convocation,
mm-hmm.
they lived in New York, and he would drive to the convocation, and he was excited about, you know, going and remembering his father and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it was good. It was
what
really, really
a
good.
Wonderful,
the entire convocation was awesome.
I won't call it a coincidence because we know in the kingdom there are no coincidences, but that this matinee superstar is also a man of God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was very good. I enjoyed every moment of it, and I'm looking forward to next year.
Amen. Now, on that note, we'll take a break and come back and talk about our village first. So stay with us.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Well, how are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
You know, honey, when I was a little girl, it was such a treat to spend the night in my backyard. Mm. I remember Mom and Dad would make a big tent out of bed sheets.
Cool.
But those campouts with them were such an adventure.
Yeah, I bet.
Our kids need to experience a night in the backyard so they can have memories like that, too.
You are so right. But let's take them to one of our state parks so we can spend the night in Arkansas's big backyard.
Oh, they'll love that.
Well, you always make the plans, so what should we do? Should we go camping or stay in a park cabin or one of the mountain lodges?
Let's decide right now.
Okay.
ArkansasStateParks.com, the state parks website. Wow, look at all our choices.
Yeah, they even have tents or yurts we could rent.
Or an RV.
An RV sounds pretty comfortable to me.
Let's make our plans and surprise the kids. Now they'll have backyard memories too.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter. Plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association
and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived in the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Thank you for joining us for the Village Celebration. We are back now with Bishop Robert Rudolph of the Church of God in Christ. And Bishop, where are we tonight in the Word?
Well, tonight we are coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 14 through 15, and this happened to be the theme for the Church of God in Christ on this year. The theme in general was Christ's extreme sacrifice calls for our extreme commitment.
Amen.
Christ's extreme sacrifice calls for our extreme commitment. This is something that Bishop Blake gives to the National Church every year. And the scripture reads, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." What I get out of this particular verse of scripture is that Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. He made the ultimate sacrifice by giving his life. They didn't kill him. He gave his life. And that's, to me, is extremely important. But because he gave his life, we ought to be able to have the extreme commitment to him. One of the things that I think about when I read that scripture is on September 11th, just a few years ago, what happened, 9-1-1.
Mm-hmm.
And the tragic thing is that the people, when they killed the Americans or attempted to kill the Americans, they did it because they said that their God told them to
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't believe in what they believe in,
mm-hmm.
and if we say it's not what it's supposed to be, then if they have that strong commitment to something that we call frivolous
mm-hmm.
or something that we think is not right,
mm-hmm.
then where is our commitment? So that's what I think about. And Bishop Blake really brought it out when he talked about how our extreme sacrifice, or Christ's extreme sacrifice, calls for our extreme commitment. If he gave that much on the cross, we ought to be able to do it every day and not be ashamed when
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to be counted, stand mm-hmm. up and be counted. So,
and sacrifice is not always easy. In fact, that's why it's a sacrifice. It rarely is easy.
Yes, and it's hard, but you have to be able to say, this is what I believe in, This is what I stand for, and regardless of what happens, this is me, and nothing is going to change that.
And that commitment is based on our love.
Love
and,
for Christ.
And as in response to the love, we sacrifice.
You're right. You're exactly right. We ought to be able to sacrifice and do what God wants us to do because he made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross of Calvary.
Gosh, if we could just keep that in our minds daily.
Every day.
And it's, you know, turn the other cheek or whatever it is that needs to be done that feels like a sacrifice.
You're right. We ought to be able to do it. We should do it because he loved us that much. So I'm thankful.
I am too. And I'm reminded that that is the call.
That's it.
Daily. Bishop Robert Rudolph, thank you so much for joining us. You know, we talked about Bishop Paul Morton. You mentioned him and mm-hmm. and the song Press My Way Through. We're going to break with Press My Way Through. Stay right where you are when we come back. Our village doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall, joins us to talk about the shift in the way we Americans are eating. So don't go away.
We don't get weary of the work, but sometimes we get weary in the work. When you're working for God, say you will never get tired. Amen. But I want to encourage you tonight. I've come here tonight. My assignment tonight is to encourage you. Is to let you know in the midst of everything that you're going through, you got to learn how to press your way through. You got to push right through it. The blessing is in the pressing. And when you learn how to press, there's no secret what God can do. I ain't talking about something I heard. I'm talking about something I know. I've had the press. Yes, I'm a young man, but let me tell you something. Young folk go through stuff too. We got to learn how to press our way. Listen to this song. The song says this. Press my way through. I don't know about you, but I'm going to press my way through. Said I can't give up now. I must press my way through. Every day I'm pressing my way through. Pressing my way through, God has something waiting. Must press my way. Pentecostal boy here, Tony say, press.
Why are we here in an Arkansas state park in winter? It's quiet, cold, it's winter.
I know! Now is when the weather is nice and cool.
But I need to keep moving to stay warm.
Yes! Isn't this invigorating? Winter is the best time to hike the trails.
Yeah, and look around. There aren't any leaves on the trees.
I know! Now you can really see the scenery. Isn't this view beautiful?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, look over there. A bald eagle, an American bald eagle in the wild.
Yeah, speaking of bald, I left my cap back in the cabin. You know, our warm park cabin with the warm fireplace. Let's go back and join our wives at the warm cabin.
Great idea. We'll all go have lunch at the lodge.
Really? What is there to do in a park in winter?
We'll join the park naturalists for a lake cruise, then tonight's music performance, the hayride bird watching, the kayak tour, the star party.
Okay, I give. Maybe there is a lot to do in an Arkansas state park in winter.
Or we could
just chill.
Chill.
For a free guidebook and calendar of events, call 1-888-AT-PARKS or visit ArkansasStateParks.com. Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. Aren't you glad we've got them?
Wife told me to get a hobby. My doctor told me to exercise. I listen to me. Grow flowers, vegetables, and in my own way, keep an Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful. A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful. A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association
and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Welcome back to The Village. We are now going to talk with our doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall. Dr. Di, good evening. How's it going?
Good evening, Vicki. It is going well.
Good. Good. Oh, you mentioned this study about the seismic shift in the way Americans are eating, and the First Lady's talking about it. You're talking about it. What has changed?
Well, you know, what I thought was interesting, Vicki, is that you and I have been talking about it for months. Every other segment, we're talking about what's the best thing to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw that the First Lady had tweeted about, okay, this is interesting, you guys need to read it. It was a New York Times post about what we're eating. And if you read the column, of course, it's an opinion column, but it is based on scientific fact that what we're eating is starting to catch on. And so a lot of our companies now are having to change the way that they're doing things. They're having to catch up because we're starting to see sales plummet in those foods that are just not good for us.
The preservatives, the artificial flavorings and all of those things, we are saying
absolutely
no more. This farm-to-table movement really is producing changes in the way we eat.
It is really. It really is. And I think Michelle Obama's move, let's get it, you know, the movement campaign has really taken a turn for a good cause. Maybe people don't want to give her credit for it, but I really believe that it has caused us to think about what we're eating.
I think you're right.
Think about it at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it with our children. What better way to start? And so the artificial dyes, the artificial colors, all of those things, the companies are now starting to look at their sales,
mm-hmm.
and they're recognizing that the sales are going down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying just what we said last week. People aren't shopping in the aisles in the supermarkets anymore. They're shopping in the perimeters.
The fresh
because
produce.
Because they don't want all of those preservatives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you mentioned the First Lady. Think of those pictures of the First Lady in that garden with young children.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, that's the place to start. And more families are teaching children where the food starts. It's going to be interesting to see if these companies can change and mend their ways.
I agree. You know, I don't know about you, but I grew up in the country on a farm, and so a lot of our vegetables, my dad planted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about my own children and how very little they know about growing their own fresh fruits and vegetables. They know very little. And they really think that our foods come from Walmart. So we need to get back to basics and teach children how to plant, how to grow their own fresh fruits and vegetables with very little chemicals on them, so that they get the best nutrition.
You know, I am surprised at this change. I think it's been subtle, but it's definitive.
Mm-hmm.
The conversations we're having about foods, organic foods, the farm-to-table movement, and again, the First Lady. And I do think that younger Americans are more cognizant of eating healthfully, more so than I think I was at 7 or 8 or 9.
Oh, absolutely. I really believe so. You know, I think, and we do see an increase, and don't get it wrong, and we do see a big increase in the number of children who are overweight. And I think by starting in the cafeterias and trying to not so much restrict the children what they're eating, but to make healthier choices. So she kind of started slow and limited the salt intake and kind of limited the sugar intake. And then she did the Let's Move so we can get more activity. Because what you want children to do, you want them to be able to enjoy what they're eating. And let them know that, you know, if you get the right taste buds, these things are not really that bad.
Right.
You grow up eating sweets, you're going to want sweets. But the longer you stay away from them, your taste buds adjust. And then pretty soon you start thinking, That doesn't taste good.
Right. That is so true. That's very true. You know,
absolutely.
The first thing that comes to mind is I grew up on whole milk, and now I cannot drink whole milk. It's just too heavy.
Absolutely.
It needs to be at least 2%. You know, so you're right. Your palate changes. And we are having more conversations about what we eat. I'm afraid to eat sugar now. I mean, every time you turn on the TV or there's an article about Americans eating too much sugar, we're eating too much sugar. And I love sugar and butter, but I am aware that it's not good for me in the quantities.
Well, you're right. And as with anything, there's a time and place for everything. And for me, because I really restrict my intake of carbs, not so much to the point that I don't take them in, because you do need them. You need them for fuel for your brain.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that if I eat now a heavy carb meal, I really don't feel my best.
Mm-hmm.
I get severe heartburn. I get extremely tired. So we kind of understand, you know, that post-food sleepiness. I can't do them.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do them like I did before. And so I think that's your body adjusting to the intake, and you're restricting things, and it's trying to remind me that, wait a minute now, Dr. Dye, you weren't taking this in, and now you're trying to make me, process some things that I'm not used to anymore.
And
so
as,
just kind of listen to your body.
As African Americans, I suppose, given the number of diseases to which we seem predisposed, we really have to be careful with what we put in our bodies.
Yes. We do know that salt, heavy intake of salt, escalates your blood pressure. Overconsumption of carbohydrates without any physical activity predisposes us to diabetes, not to mention the heart disease. Just you name it, and we're predisposed to it. So I think that if we as a nation just start to look at what we're consuming and to make a more practical choice, we can start seeing our health care dollars diminish. At least I'm hopeful anyway.
Well, that's a good reason to be hopeful. And you mentioned at the very outset that much of this has been put in place by the First Lady's campaign for healthy living and a healthy diet. So what a legacy for her, aside from President Obama's legacy.
I absolutely agree. You know, they gave her a very hard time, Vicki. Let's not, you know, they
in
gave
the beginning,
her a very
yes,
hard time
indeed.
About, oh, absolutely. And even made some comments that were very inappropriate about her own size and her children's
absolutely.
Size. But I think that her movement has taken a swift turn for the better. And I just hope it continues.
And I think it will. I think it will continue. It certainly started a conversation that, as a nation and as a community, we need to continue to have. Dr. Dye, next week, we're just a week from Thanksgiving, so we'll take a look at the turkey next week? The turkey and the sides and the sweet potatoes? And maybe come up with some healthier versions. That's going to be hard. All right,
Vicki, that sounds great.
Thank you, Dr. Dye. And thank you for joining us tonight for the Village Celebration. We've talked about the issue of race on American university campuses. What do you think?
How many of y'all know when the scripture says?
And we had our Village verse. And we are going to wrap it up tonight with, as I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite songs. If you're having a tough time, hang on in there. Just press your way through. You're always welcome in the Village, and we're glad that you decided to spend some time with us. I'm Vicki Newton.
You didn't say you would never get tired. Amen? But I want to encourage you tonight. I've come here tonight. My assignment tonight is to encourage you. is to let you know in the midst of everything that you're going through, you got to learn how to press your way through it. You got to push right through it. The blessing is in the pressing. And when you learn how to press, there's no secret what God can do. I ain't talking about something I heard. I'm talking about something I know. I've had to press. Yes, I'm a young man, but let me tell you something. Young folk go through stuff too. We got to learn how to press our way. Listen to this song. The song says this. Press my way through. Press my way through. Can't give up now. I must press my way through. Press my way through, press my way through. God has something waiting if I press my way through. Let me see. Press my way through.